and welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is a special edition of The Bottom Line with Mitchell Spean. I said with Mitchell Spean. I should say starring Mitchell Spean.
We're back to that star stuff.
Yeah, I like it. We're starstruck. That's why. And, of course, you're usually on the first Tuesday of every month from
2 to 3.
2 to 3, that's
two
right.
2 to 3.
And you will be on next Tuesday. Who do we have next Tuesday again?
We've got the president of Phoenix Rotary 100.
That's a good one. That will be excellent because that's a great organization, and that particular group is phenomenal.
Absolutely. They do so much for the community, and one of the things that I was involved recently was to get some financing for the Field of Dreams. The Rotary Club actually built the Field of Dreams a number of years ago as part of the 100th anniversary of Rotary, and we're now putting together the financing to maintain it. And so we did the Grape American Wine event. Our goal was to raise about $10,000 for the field, and we managed to do 12.
Oh, that's excellent. The Great American Wine Event.
Yes.
I like Riesling wine.
Riesling? They had all sorts of wines there.
You know,
by the time I was finished, I didn't care.
I thought so. Was that you who called? I thought I recognized your voice. Anyway, we have a special guest in studio, the Vice President of Bibby Financial Services, Pam McConlogue. Welcome.
Way to go, Dave. Got it right. How are you?
Oh, I am great. Thank you for coming in today. Because this is also something that we just had, you know, equipment leasing, people on the air. And this is something else. Accounts receivable financing is very important. Why don't you describe what that is, first of all? What is accounts receivable finance?
Okay, that'd be great. What accounts receivable financing is, it's the stimulation of cash flow for small to mid-sized companies that are in a quandary with their receivables being taken too long to be paid by the companies that they've been billing. So what we do is we step in and we take those receivables and we finance them typically 80% of the face value to start, and then we stimulate the cash flow so that the business can get out there and use his monies more quickly than waiting for payment.
Now, who is in charge of collecting the receivables? Does it transfer to you or the company still?
It does transfer to us.
And that's, you know, it's interesting, Mitch. I mean, you see it also is it in this, whether it's this time period with the recession or not, you know, often receivables are overlooked, and that's a problem.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it directly bears on the cash flow.
But people always look at that bank account.
Yeah.
But they just don't look at some of the sources.
They don't realize it is an asset. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, do you actually own the receivables at that time, or is it just sort of collateral for like a loan?
It's collateral, which we take in the form of 90 days for the loan. So what that means is after 90 days, the client's receivables are returned to them. So we don't serve as a collection agency on them.
No. Okay, that makes sense. So they still have to do the work trying to collect them, or else that could be a problem for them if they don't collect them because it's used as collateral.
Well, correct. And we are assuming, though, that within the first 90 days, those receivables will be paid.
Yeah.
So we're going to work off that assumption, Dave.
It's a good assumption. Let's hope that's what will happen. Yeah. So tell us what type of companies use this type of procedure.
All right, that's a great question. Actually, any company which is creating an invoice to another commercial company has an asset then available to him. And so that might be in the trucking industry, the staffing industry, manufacturing, service related. So again, it has to be a business that is creating an invoice to another business. So not a consumer.
So that leaves it pretty wide open. Most businesses would have this, unless it's consumers, like you said. But if
true, retail might not have this. Yeah, so again, they're driving their business to a consumer.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, how do you evaluate accounts receivable? I'm sure you do your due diligence too.
Yeah, absolutely. So when Bibby begins to work with a client, what is important is the credit worthiness of our client's debtor. And the reason for that is because the debtor is responsible for making the payment on that receivable. So if our clients had a bump in the road, we can help them smooth through that transition. And it might be personal, it might be on the business credit. And by using the debtor's credit worthiness, we're able to put into place a lending piece.
And what's the process? Someone calls you up. They say, help, I want to stimulate my cash flow. I like how you said that. Rather than increase my cash flow, it's stimulate it.
Absolutely.
So what's the process? I asked the leasing guys the same thing. And they said it was really easy. So how does it work with you?
Well, we like to think it's really easy. What we would do is we would have the client reach out, contact me, and have a discussion, whether in person or over the phone. I love coming out and seeing where they work. I've had more fascinating tours of manufacturing companies here in Phoenix. It's been just a joy getting to know my client. And from there, once we determine that Bibby can help with the receivable financing, there is an application, and then they need to gather a nominal amount of paperwork. It's not as intense as what they would provide a bank for traditional lending. So it would be things like their aging report, their payables report, articles of incorporation. How has the business been set up? We need to explore that. And then from there, depending on the business and depending on the loan amount, we might delve into some financials, you know, P&L statement, that kind of paperwork.
So it's relatively easy. Yeah. You have a question?
Well, just knowing Pam's background and where she's worked previously, she can give us a little bit of a deciphering between how banks work and maybe some others as compared to...
Good question.
Compared to Bibby.
Sure. Well, thanks, Mitch, for asking that.
And you might start with giving a little bit of your background.
Oh, what my background is. I have been in banking for approximately the last 9 years. And so I have seen the amazingly good times in 2, 3, 4, 5, even 6 was still really healthy. And then 7, 8, 9 got really interesting. But from that perspective of helping someone get a loan from a traditional bank, there are more hoops to jump through, as we might say. So we could go as far back as 2 or 3 years of personal financial statements, business financial statements, and it takes quite a bit longer because it goes through first the banker who's looking at it, or I should say the lender, and then he's got to present that to loan committee. And then depending on the size of the bank, loan committee may have to send it on up to the parent company to be approved. So it can take a much lengthier time period. Based on my client's responsiveness to me, assuming they get me an application and all the documents that I need to review, I can probably come back with a proposal within 3 to 4 days from that point in time, and an approve or not approve within a few days after that. So it moves much faster than a banking relationship.
And probably another difference, I'm going to guess here, but you can let me know, is often banks will have personal guarantees. Are there any guarantees with a financing accounts receivable?
Well, of course, if it's a sole prop, there would be a personal guarantee. And then in the other fashions that a business might have organized themselves, they can do a personal guarantee depending on the percentage of ownership, but we will accept a validity agreement also, which is where that individual signs for all of the owners stating that their intentions are to represent themselves honestly and fairly in dealings.
Now, is this type of financing a more short-term or long-term solution?
Again, I think you'd have to look at the industry, but...
Oh, my favorite answer.
Yes, it depends.
It depends. What happens is some industries, such as the staffing, pretty much are locked into receivable financing for years, if not for the life of the company. And the reason for that is, imagine that you are XYZ company and you need to bring on 100 employees on a temporary basis. And so you go hire a staffing company who then has to make payroll on a weekly basis, but they've set net 30-day terms with XYZ company. That would be an awful lot for them to have to carry. So from that perspective, receivable financing works long term. Now, in other cases, I have a product that actually there's no term commitment. They can use it sporadically as they need it. There's some limitations to that product, and it's not your typical factoring accounts receivable finance program. But under most circumstances, a typical 12-month contract seems to work for most businesses to turn themselves around.
So the 12-month on the factoring or the accounts receivable,
I'd say, is mostly standard.
Now, how is this different than a line of credit?
Well, it's different than a line of credit because a line of credit is a set amount which a bank puts into place. And so the client goes and he takes draws against that line of credit that the bank has already presumed is a safe dollar amount to lend to him. In this case, a dollar amount or the loan amount is assigned to the client based on their aging report and their sale, monthly sales, et cetera. We kind of evaluate what that amount would be. And then that amount is driven or determined, again, by the receivables that they are turning over to Bibby to draw against.
How often are those things reviewed, possibly to increase or decrease the amounts that are flowing through the business?
Well, we have account executives who watch the client's account consistently. So to raise it, what we would be noticing is a client would be continuously bumping up against that line amount. In other words, maximizing it to the point that if he's generating receivables in that growth stage, then we need to look and increase that line. If he's never getting to the point of ever maximizing the line or getting close enough, then maybe we've overset it. He's had to meet some monthly minimums, and we need to reevaluate that and potentially lower that so he's not being fee'd month after month.
Sort of like minutes on a telephone, on a cell phone.
Sure.
And that happened to me, actually. So, but no, that's good to be aware of that. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the Vice President of Bibby Financial Services, Pam McConlog. Wow, I did that twice in a row.
I'm getting Mitch, impressed.
You do that now, Mitch. What's her name? What?
Good old what's her name? Yeah, come on, that's not nice.
I didn't say good old what's her name. I said, what is her name? I want to hear you say.
Pam McConlog?
Oh, you did it better than I did. We'll be right back.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911. The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is a special edition of The Bottom Line starring Mitchell Spean. Usually you're on Tuesdays, the first Tuesday from 2 to 3. You got the fifth Tuesday special edition. How did you do that?
I know somebody high on the food chain for the show.
Oh, that's right. Yes, it was excellent when I remember you called me and said, please, please. Okay. Anyway, we have in studio the Vice President of Bibby Financial Services, Pam McConlog, and we were talking about how to finance accounts receivable, in essence, and you've given some great information. Let me ask you a couple other things. We just talked about short-term and long-term solutions. What are some of the decision points that people need to understand when they go to this type of solution?
Well, the best way to determine as a business if you're at that stage that you need to begin to consider receivable financing, one is typically the age of your business. Most financial institutions won't lend to businesses less than 2 years old. So we don't have an issue with the age of the business. Again, it's all about the fact that you have sold a product or provided a service, and you can invoice another commercial company, then you have an asset that can be factored. Doesn't matter how old you are or where you are in the life cycle. So we see a tremendous amount of businesses coming to us in that rapid growth stage. They might actually have a bank line, and the bank line is tapped out. They can't work with their banker anymore. So I'll replace that bank line with a receivables line, and then they can grow through the roof, as you asked earlier about, you know, they're going to start bumping up against that ceiling. As long as they have those receivables, we'll continue to grow with them. In a declining life cycle, as they're maybe passing the business off or they're getting ready to sell it, they want to use their assets wisely, hold on to their cash. They might reuse their receivables as a form of income.
I would suspect in a startup company, it's going to be tough because they haven't sold anything yet. But have you seen companies, what, maybe 3, 4, or 5 months when they get rolling?
Oh, absolutely. Works? Absolutely. And that can be through a purchase order program. It can be through traditional receivables financing. But, oh, don't assume that just a company at 3 or 4 months isn't stimulating some business. This economy right now, the entrepreneur is just reaching out and creating opportunity for himself left and right.
Well, tell us about some of the programs. You said the PO program. You probably have other programs. You want to sort of scan through them?
Well, I hinted a little bit about one that we call a Kickstart. And this Kickstart program is nice for those businesses that only need receivables on a sporadic basis. And that dollar amount maximizes at $100,000 for that line. And what happens in that case, it is an 80% draw of the face value of the invoice. We work with the client and who are their debtors, and seeing that it is a product that we can place for them. So they still need to go through the full application process. But the nice thing about this product is there's no fees to put it in place. There are no monthly minimums and no term that they have to sign up for. So we get away from that 12 months that we mentioned earlier.
That sounds amazing.
It is amazing.
That's called the Kickstart.
The Kickstart, exactly.
Wow, I love that. It reminds me of the bicycle, the kickstand. Remember that, Mitch? The kickstand.
Except that I never was able to ride a bike.
But okay, but I remember that, the kickstand. So now what are some of the other programs you have?
Okay, then we get into more traditional factoring. And then that begins at $100,000 on up, where we begin to look at setting those monthly minimums with the client based on what makes sense off of their monthly sales, their yearly sales. And we typically do a term, getting back to that 12 months that we mentioned. And together we determine how the client wants to use the line, and we work with the client closely. So that is a traditional factoring product. And then we have the purchase order, which is a little bit different in that the client, again, has an order, but the goods or services haven't been delivered, and we can work with that also to finance that. Government contracts, we do that. We help with the trucking industry when there are independent truck owners who go out and they want to purchase a load. We can get them set up and help them finance that load as they move it across the country. We do export and import financing.
Wow, you cover all over the place, it sounds like, which is excellent. Now, what restrictions do you have? Would there be a restriction on use of the money for if someone's using some of the funds to buy long-term type of fixed assets?
No, there are no restrictions on the use of the money. When we provide cash, we do not hold them to demonstrate to us what the cash has been used for. Now, through the client interview process, I'm asking those questions. I'm trying to learn about the business, and I would like to see that it is for the growth of the business, maybe meeting payroll, buying raw materials, typical things like that, operations. I don't want him to go out and buy a new Corvette with it.
No. That wouldn't make sense, right, Mitch? I mean, you've
seen
that.
No, not at all. But one of the questions I had was, as you're looking at these your clients and trying to determine whether it's a good match or not, what if the product is seasonal? And so you're going to have everything in one period of time, and therefore it's not as easy to necessarily finance something in the down period if it's a seasonal business.
Well, seasonal works well. Again, we can get back to that kickstart where some months they can use it and some months they don't have to, but then they are limited to only the $100,000. But otherwise, when we talk about setting those monthly minimums, we can do that on a quarterly basis. We can do that on a yearly basis. We want to work with our client for helping them. Again, it's a hand-in-hand partnership in developing the product that's going to be most successful for them and for us.
Let me ask you, what's your typical client look like right now? Is there a specific industry, a specific size, or is it just all over the board?
Industry-wise, manufacturing, especially here throughout Phoenix and the Southwest, and I am responsible for the entire Southwest, so I have the pleasure of traveling to Denver and Albuquerque and Salt Lake City.
How about Las Vegas?
Las Vegas.
Oh, you're lucky. You are so lucky.
Absolutely. It's a tremendous amount of fun. But
well, before you answer that, what's your favorite city then to travel?
I'm going to have to confess it'll be Denver for right now because my oldest daughter lives there. And she let me know that I'm going to be a grandmother in the near future.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you
very
much.
Is this your first grandchild?
It is. So it'll be my excuse to get to Denver quite a bit.
You look too young to be a grandma.
I appreciate that.
Doesn't she? I'm amazed. Wow, good for you.
Thanks.
You know, that's a beautiful city, though. I love Denver. It's a very clean downtown. Have you been down there?
It is. It's very easy to move around through the city. It's not intimidating. Seems like everyone is very easygoing to work with. So, yes, I'm enjoying it very much.
And plus, she has a place to stay.
That's right. and a little baby soon to play with, too. Is that going to be fun? You know, it's funny about Denver. I flew out of here in September, maybe, 10 years ago, like 110 degrees. And I went into Denver, and it was snowing in September. I couldn't believe it,
isn't there the expression "wait 2 minutes and the weather will change"?
Yeah,
yeah.
But Denver is pretty mild, though. It's not like Buffalo, New York, when it snows. It's actually a very pleasant place. Have you been there, Mitch?
No.
Oh, I think you'd like it, and you like.
I'm sure
it.
I would.
Well, where does Las Vegas rank then?
Las Vegas is hectic. Las Vegas can be exhausting, so I'm not sure where it falls on the list.
Really? But you like the shows?
I do the shows. Sure.
I love the shows. My favorite show. Guess what? Should I admit it?
Yes.
My son, you know, Greg, he's not going to like that I admit this. He's going to say, turn to my man card. I saw Donnie and Marie there. I loved it, though. They're
wow.
pretty good talent. Oh, she's not impressed. Okay. there we
How
go.
How long ago was this?
Yeah. I want now I'm going to say like, you know, 30 years ago. But it was actually last year. It was really good. Okay. Kurt, you like it. Come on. Help me out here. Yeah, he's not going to talk now. You're on your own, Dave. That's what he's saying right now. Anyway, so where were we?
We've diverged.
We did. We didn't Mitch warn you about that?
Yes, well, he did.
Yeah.
But it's
It takes
great.
On a life of its own. That's yeah. what I've said.
I noticed we didn't do it yet, so I thought, well, this is a good time, right? And, okay, so we were talking about manufacturing.
Correct. And sweet spots would be...
Las Vegas.
Okay. We're back to Las yeah. Vegas and sweet spots. Would be that business somewhere that needs a line approximately 250 to 1.5 million. Those work very well. But we do go as high as 5 million. And that's going to be a very special debtor that client is working with.
So typically manufacturers, but you also have other industries.
Again, the emphasis on the staffing and the trucking and businesses that generate an invoice. It really is that simple, Dave.
Yeah, it does sound simple, and it's convenient mm-hmm. when people are trying to manage their business. And as Mitch knows, we've seen clients that forget to bill, and if you forget the bill, there's nothing to factor. I mean, that's a scary thought, right?
Yep, that would not work.
So I would think just by going to a factoring company would maybe discipline them, because they know that if they don't have good managerial skills, they're not going to have accounts receivables to factor, even though they, in theory, have it. But without a bill, you're not going to do anything, without an invoice.
Correct. And I work very closely with my CPA partners like Mitch, my business consultants, attorneys, my partners that make sense to help our client move forward, not just with generating his cash flow, but getting his business on track to grow and be successful.
That is a great service. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Pam McConlogue from Bibby Financial Services. I should say vice president. That is very impressive. When you go to Vegas, make sure you throw that title around, and we'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is a special edition of The Bottom Line starring Mitchell Spean. And Mitch, we've had an amazing time so far. It's been an hour and a half all about financing, it appears, today.
Making sure people can get the money so that they can grow their business.
Very important. But we don't want to emphasize the importance of great managerial skills too, because that's going to be key in a key component in running your business.
Right, and that's part of why it keeps talking about that team.
Yeah,
you know, to help you stay on track with what needs to be done.
Well, speaking of team, what would go in a team? Now I know, Pam, that you partner up with people, at least informally, to work to help people. You don't finance inventory, but you do work with asset-based lenders. Tell us about that.
Closely. Sometimes the receivables portion won't be enough to finance the client for what he's trying to accomplish, so he needs to look at other alternatives. And what that might be is your prior individual that was on talked about was equipment, using inventory, using their transportation vehicles. Asset-based lending involves a lot of different areas where we can be, again, more creative than a traditional banking arrangement for taking collateral.
Which is important, especially when people are so frustrated, it seems like, with banks these days. It's really tough. Tell us about that.
You want me to talk about how people are frustrated with banks?
Yes. You're not a banker anymore.
I'm not a banker anymore. Yeah, I know, but I work with bankers. Bankers are my friends.
Oh, they're so nice, those bankers. But they're heavily regulated, but it's a different mindset.
But it's the bankers you work with versus the others.
The other bankers.
Yes.
It's just an environment right now that has been stalled due to the economy, due to banks' lending inability for various reasons, which I'm not an expert to get into, but that the small businessman has got to think outside of the box. And he needs to educate himself as to what are some of those other options. And I think accounts receivable financing, which is also factoring, might be a more commonly known name, is a fantastic alternative. We can move faster than a bank. We can be more flexible than a bank. And that credit worthiness that some small business owners find themselves in a tight spot personally on, we move past that in the decision-making process because we are looking at their debtors. So it's a very viable alternative.
There's no doubt about it. And then you were saying that you're really much more, at least personally, when you help your clients and you get into some strategic planning issues, you sort of brainstorm. Tell us about, because you did say it's a relationship-based business. Tell us about how you're different than others.
Well, Bibby is different in the fact that, and I wouldn't mind stepping away for just a moment and telling you a little bit more about Bibby.
That's a great idea.
Okay. Bibby is a United Kingdom-owned company, which was established over 200 years ago. And it is still privately held by the family. And it has a true relationship, family-driven philosophy behind it. And so when we operate in the 13 countries that we're in around the world and the 8 national cities throughout the continental United States, we work based off of not just being a transaction. So if someone were to come to us and say, I just have one invoice, I want to factor, that's called spot factoring, and we don't do that.
So there are companies that do that?
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely. And there are different kind of factoring companies, and we could talk about that for a moment because I have many friends here in the Valley that offer different factoring services than I do. So, for instance, I don't do construction factoring, but I can help someone get in touch with a factorer who does construction factoring. I don't do medical. Okay, so that is a very tricky area when you're dealing with insurance companies. But I can help someone get in touch with someone who does that kind of factoring. So one of the differences I've noticed in the asset-based lending world versus the banking world is it's more cooperative play in the sandbox. We seem to want to help one another because we have different skill levels that we all bring in the product offerings. So again, I do international factoring, one of the very few, if not only, factors in Phoenix that offers the international piece. I can go to a higher line amount than some of the other factors in town. So, yes, we're all very different, and we actually refer business back and forth to one another.
So it's about cooperation and not competition, because you really have different specialties, that it sounds like.
Exactly.
Now, international factoring, that is interesting. Does that work the same way, or are there different rules, regulations? How does that work?
Well, things do become a little bit more complicated, let's say, because you're dealing with a product that's either being imported or exported. And if it's in a country where Bibi is, usually we can get that done very quickly. Some countries we have to get insurance for the goods. And obviously that's to protect ourselves and the client. So that's one piece of it that looks a little bit different. It takes a higher margin when you're dealing on an import-export basis. And that is because, again, if you're moving something overseas, it may take potentially 3 weeks alone in travel time. So it has to make sense from a pricing perspective and a margin perspective for the client to look at factoring in that case.
So are you hoping to expand your territory from the Southwest to maybe France, maybe Spain? What about that?
Well, that would be a lot of fun. And I am not going to expand my territory, but we are in the United States, of course, Canada, the United Kingdom, Ireland, France, Poland, Germany, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Sweden, Australia, India, and Hong Kong.
How about Canada? Did you say Canada?
I did say Canada.
Oh, okay.
And she said checks. She likes checks.
Yeah.
like the checks in the mail.
Yeah, that's right. I've heard of that. Okay. Wow.
I have a question, though. We're talking a lot about the financing, but I think I heard you say once 80%. Is there flexibility in that 80% at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that's going to be industry driven. That's going to be quality of the debtor driven. So there is, yes, a range there again, Mitch. So that's a standard when people think of factoring, and they can assume that if they have an invoice with a face value, when they're calculating for themselves, if they kind of begin the process of imagining it would be an 80% draw off the invoice face value, that's pretty standard.
Okay, and once the money comes in, you just give them the difference once you've received it?
Exactly. We have what we would call, a little holding tank of that remaining 20%, and that's my loose terminology. And that sits, and then after the debtor has paid us, that difference is returned less our fees.
Right, and what happens when the money goes to your client instead? How does that work?
That would not happen because the relationship with the debtor and Bibi are well established prior to our funding the client. There is notification to their debtor that they will now be paying Bibi.
Okay, so it's just handled, because I've seen it kind of, they try and bypass it anyway, but because of your relationship with your clients, they would let you know if they got the check. And
we're considered a full recourse, full verification factor.
And recourse would mean, for the listeners that don't know that.
For the listeners that don't know that, that means we're back to that day 90 conversation we talked about a few moments ago. On day 91, that ownership of the debt is returned to the client. And assuming he is still turning in additional invoices to us, that original draw off of that returned invoice is then reduced from those new invoices that come in.
Excellent. Now, what are some of the key terms in factoring? Because I think that would be important to someone that's new to this type of financing. What are some of the things they should know in terms of terms? How you define it?
Well, they would want to understand what a receivable is. And again, in layman's term, that is the invoice that they are generating to whomever they've sold their good or service. So we call that a receivable. Then you have your accounts payable, and that's the monies that are owed to them. Then you would have various financial statements that they could hopefully be working with Mitch, their CPA, on. And so we gather those kind of things. We look for, again, a sole prop is an individual owned. You have an LLC, you have corporations. So we ask for the documents to verify which one of those that they've registered their company as. I think that hits the majority of terms, unless you're thinking of any that I've missed.
Well, no, you did a great job. And another question is, how about if someone has some IRS issues? Do you, in your due diligence, like payroll, behind in their payroll, that could be an issue, right?
Well, it can be an issue. Yes, we do look for those IRS liens, and it's important to understand why they've been placed on the business and what kind of conditions have been established to take care of those liens. We don't say, oh, that's it, we can't do business with you because you have an outstanding lien. We're recognizing how to move forward with that lien in place.
Now, what if everything checked out, you know, they've been factoring for about a year or so, or let's say 6 months, and then they got some payroll issues, so the IRS is all over them now with the trust fund, and if the IRS threw a lien on, would that stop the factoring?
Again, not necessarily. It's working with the client and communicating with the IRS. We have a service that we're aware of when these things happen. And there's going to be some red flags prior to that happening that we will have noticed.
Yeah. So like financial ratios, you want to look at. I know traditional banking, they'll look at ratios in the financial statements. But good business owners should be looking at these type of things themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Mitch, you encourage that.
Oh, absolutely. You've got to look at the entire business. And a lot of times you've got businesses that may have a part of their business in the local area, whereas they might be a national or international company. Just how would that factor into the equations if they're a small part of a big company that they're looking to, you know, just this part or division is looking to do factoring, but they've got a large company that...
No, that's fine. If they're still held as a separate registered company,
right,
even though there's a parent company, we
right.
can still work with that company. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the Vice President of Bibby Financial Services, Pam McConlog. And no wonder you have Las Vegas in your territory, because you're the Vice President. I love it. I may apply for a job, and we'll be right back.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner, 602-235-0336.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. I was laughing because we had some people getting a little nervous in here, but I said, until the air sign is on, I'm going to keep talking as if it was a break, even though people on the freeway right now are, where? This is just the music. By the way, Pam, I should say that we're here with Pam McConlogue, Vice President of Bibby Financial. Did I say it right?
Is my head going to get through the door?
Yeah. Wow.
No, it's slide, just Pam. It's just keep it simple.
Okay, Pam. But I said it right, didn't I?
You did.
Okay. And Mitchell Spain, of course, the bottom line. Now, I forgot what I was talking about.
Well, let's start. The one thing we want to make sure happens is that she gives the contact information so that everybody can get a hold of her.
And how do we get in touch with you? Should I give out your number?
Or please, like, okay. I'd appreciate it that.
If you want to talk to Pam, yes, Pam, I'm just going to say Pam, 602-212-6202. That's the telephone number, 602-212-6202. And is there any other numbers you want to give out, a cell number or anything?
I'll keep it with the email address. Should we do that one?
Yeah, yes. Do the email address. Okay, I'll let you do that one.
PMCCOANLOGUE@BIBBYUSA.com.
And we're having an eye test here. That's what it reminded me of, right, Mitchell? It sort of did, in a way. Wow, so that's really PMCCOANLOGUE@BIBBYUSA.com.
Right. And I guess what I would not encourage everyone to do, as much as we do have a great website, if you go to the website, you will lose my personal touch. And I would hate for that to happen. So if nothing else, see if you can find the Phoenix information on the website and give me a call. 602-212-6202.
Excellent. Now, let's talk a little bit more. We probably have maybe 8 minutes left or so. Wow, I'm right on the button, Kurt tells me. Factoring as a stigma. You know, I have clients, Mitch has clients, and the first thing that comes to mind, I think, at least from my experience, is like, oh, no, two things. It's expensive, perhaps, and maybe it's hard to get off of factoring. That's been my experience. How about you, Mitch?
Oh, I agree with you. There's no question. It's... A lot of people say it's the financing a last resort.
Yeah.
Mitch, you're breaking my heart.
But I'm gonna rescue you.
Okay.
Here it is. Just like in what was that movie, Pretty Woman? I'm gonna rescue you. I'm not gonna climb up a ladder though. But maybe I will. The thing is that those people that have that stigma buy into it are thinking strictly of cost versus value. And what's better if you can get financing to get you into a certain situation to create a great business? Am I right, Pam?
Well, Dave, I'll tell you what the bigger stigma is. It isn't even about the cost, because cost is a factor of doing business. And if you cannot get financed anywhere else and the alternative is to grow your business or close your doors, cost should not be a consideration. No, it isn't the same as going and getting traditional lending. But it isn't unreasonable for growing your business. What I hear most often from clients who are hesitating is, again, because it is full verification that their debtor or their client is being notified that they are using receivable financing as an alternative. With that, the mindset often is, ooh, they're going to think I'm in trouble. You're not in trouble. And you know why you're not in trouble? Because you are so successful and you are, as a business, doing so well that the banks cannot keep up with your lending needs. And again, it's going back and using the poor bank as a scapegoat to say, hey, he's not lending to me. How can I continue to stay in business and keep growing? So we can blame the bankers for a little while also. The economy is so bad that there's no asset value left in their homes. So it used to be the equity in their homes would help a small business guy keep going. That's gone now too, especially here in Phoenix. So his alternatives for using more traditional funds is gone. And so right now, this is a perfect storm for asset-based lending and Bibby in particular through receivable financing to help small businesses continue to grow.
You know, that makes total sense. And because the whole climate has changed. I mean, you're right. People get seconds on their houses, maybe use it for business, and that's not going to happen anymore. I mean, nope. Everyone's upside down, it seems like. So that's a really good point. And I do think you're right. The general public, the clients of the companies will know, like, yeah, it's very tough right now with banks anyway to get financing. So I think they would understand, Mitch. Am I right?
Yeah, but what it brings to mind for me is an issue of client confidentiality. If you're letting somebody know that they're a client, are you breaching any confidentiality issues? Like as a CPA, you don't want to give out personal client information. And then you're saying that we now have to basically base the lending on the creditworthiness of the customer or our client. Now we're talking about potentially client confidentiality issues that could come back to bite you.
Does that happen? Or?
No, because again, once we have given our client, the individual who's come to me mm-hmm. and has the line in place, remember he has in essence sold us that invoice to collateralize his line. So that invoice can no longer be paid from his debtor to him, and we have to notify his debtor. So no, that isn't, it's not the same as only his debtor knows. We're not going out and telling anybody else who that client is. So just his debtor knows, because then he needs to pay for the factoring.
So Bibby. It's just a notification to say, pay here instead of here.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a great alternative. Now, what are some of the differences you've seen in various areas of the country? And you could comment on any part of that you'd like.
Well, within the country, we have quite a bit of apparel industry uses the California office. Huge in the apparel industry. That goes back for 100 years for the historical perspective of financing that industry. We have a heavy trucking out in the Tennessee area. The Atlanta office actually handles the international piece of business. Again, I'm more heavy manufacturing and service driven. And other offices probably do similar to what I do. Now, as far as the economy's influence on those other parts of the country, there isn't any business anywhere in the country that at some point doesn't struggle with cash flow. How they move through that, whether it's a positive or a negative, is based on whether they are creditworthy enough for going to a bank. And if not, again, we're an alternative to traditional lending.
I like that. So let's give out your contact information one more time. We're at the end of the show. Can you believe it? An hour just flew by. We got 2 minutes. So why don't you give out your contact information again?
Sure. Best phone number is 602-212-6202. And my email is pmconlogue@bibbyusa.com.
And people should know Bibby out here because of Michael Bibby, the basketball guy.
Not Henry.
Oh, that was his daddy. Remember him?
Yes.
Coached at SC, I think. Played at UCLA. How did I know that? Oh, we have a sports show. That's how. Okay. And I was
no relation.
Yeah, no relation. But people will remember that now. Bibby. And Pam McConlogue, thank you so much for being in studio today. This is great.
Dave, thanks. Mitch, thanks.
I'm glad it was able to work out. You've given some great information that I think can help a lot of people.
No doubt about it. And make sure you call Pam at 602 602- 212-6202. That's 602-212-6202. It might be the best call you've ever made because, what you know, if you don't have cash flow, I don't care if you have net income on an accrual basis. Without cash flow, guess what, Mitch? You're out of business. And
exactly.
Anyways.
We'll see you next week.
Next week, next Tuesday, and, of course, Friday, the sports show will have our continuing reporting for the Phoenix Coyotes saga. Unbelievable what's going on there. Hopefully we'll have news on Friday about what's going to happen. We still don't know. It's so quiet out there. Are you a hockey fan, Pam?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
I love ice hockey.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll have to talk to you about that right after the show. Anyway, have a great week, everyone. See you Friday.